Good morning. Welcome to LifePoint Church, Westerville. We are really blessed to be here, to be able to speak on the Lord's behalf here in Westerville, and we're really thankful that you've chosen us as your place to worship here on Mother's Day. Just in case you don't know who I am, I'm the Family Ministries pastor here at LifePoint. And a little bit about my family background. I'm, of course, a dad. I have a beautiful wife who's serving right back there in the kids ministry along with a few other moms. So praise the Lord for them. And then I have three kiddos. My oldest is 20, and she is a sophomore at UC. She's sitting right there. And I know what you're thinking. This dude does not look like he has a 20-year-old. Amen. You know, I'm thankful for that. Also, I have a freshman in high school right over here at Westerville North, Zach, and then Tyler, who is a sixth grader at Walnut Springs Middle School. And so that's just a little bit about my family, but also on top of that, I've got a lot of other family here. And as far as my mom goes and my dad goes, they had their hands full. Because I am the oldest of five, right? And so I had four brothers and one sister. So you can just praise the Lord for my sister because she made it. She got through, and she is amazing. But one of the things that is just really about our family, this, you know, as you have five kiddos, and there's just a lot of responsibilities for mom and dad, and I'm sure you guys have gone through those things, but I wanted to give you a little glimpse into what I feel like my mom had to go through. And I had a video planned, but actually our LifePoint worship team has a way better video for you. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to tell you about the video that I had planned. It was actually from the movie Superman. Right? And pretty much that's how my mom rolled. She was awesome. She did everything. And there's this scene where Superman is flying and he looks down and there is a train barreling down the tracks and there is a gap in the tracks. So what Superman does is he shoots down supersonic speed, flies down there, and he grabs one side of the track, bends it, pulls it in, puts out his arm, puts out his leg, and then the train just rolls right over him. Right? That was pretty much my mom's life right there with five kids. I mean, we rolled all over her. But one of the special things about her and is just her heart, and I'm so thankful to be her son. But what I wanted to do was just share with you a video that our LifePoint Worship and Arts team created. And this is just a special message from some of our more experienced mothers to some of our newer moms. So I encourage you guys to just check out this video.
When our kids were younger, I was juggling both work and motherhood. I'd say to young mothers to maybe not set the bar so high on yourself.
You are the most important person to these little people. You are their superwoman.
This other mom who had like seven kids, she told me, anything worth doing is worth doing shabbily. Became very liberating to me. If I need to give you a ride in my car and my car's not perfect, I can give you a ride in my car. If I want to have you over for coffee and my house is not straightened up perfectly, well, I can still have you over for coffee.
Your identity in Christ affects everything in your daily life. It helps with your motivation. It helps with your conversation and your speech. It helps you love your husband.
The one thing that wasn't as important in my life was my relationship with God. Being a part of LifePoint and being a part of life groups here, it's just amazing how God puts people in your life at a time when you really need them.
I think I was too task-oriented and sometimes was lacking in my relationships with my family.
We made time for football and basketball and soccer and dance. We should have made time for also studying the Bible. If there's a choice between cleaning the house and going outside and playing with the children, I would definitely advise you to go outside and play with the kids. Maybe not even take the phone outside, just go out and spend time with the children.
There's always that mom that we think has got it all together and is doing things just perfectly. But what we don't know is their circumstances. It may be that we have biological children you know, having a two-parent family. It may not be.
God picked you. He picked you over all of the mothers that are in the world to be the mother of your child. You are the best mom that your kids could have.
Mother's Day can be excruciatingly painful for a woman who longs to be a mom. But I would like you to know that we see you, you belong, and the body of Christ needs you.
Some of the things I wish I had known when my kids were little is what terrific people that they would become. It's just really incredible to see what God does as He creates the individual that He always had in mind. I just had the privilege of watching my oldest child baptize his child. You never see that, you know, when you're a young mom picking up and washing their socks.
Enjoy God's grace, rest in Him. It's a journey. Lean into His own understanding, and He will show you how to be a mom.
One thing I wish I would have known about parenting was just how fast it would go. I rode the top thrill dragster at Cedar Point one time, and we just shot right out of there. I just shut my eyes, I screamed, and at the very end, I cried. Parenting is similar to that. You wait, you get married, you have children, and boom, life just comes right to you really fast. The thing with the top thrill dragster, I was able to get back on and do it again. So I would encourage you, you know, open your eyes, don't scream as much, but this is a great journey, a great ride, and just enjoy it and cherish as many moments as you can.
I love that last statement, what she talks about, the ride on the roller coaster. I can definitely feel that because, I mean, like I said, I've got a sophomore in college, and I'm dead serious. I mean, you probably heard this a million times, but I feel like I was just holding her the other day, like in my arms. And so it flies by. One of the things that I've had the unique opportunity to do as a pastor, working in family ministries and working with kids for years and years, is that I get to have a really close-up look at families in the good times and in the hard times. I get to have a really close-up look at people that serve God and have all the right things in place and have the right heart and just love the Lord. And it's really inspiring to me. It's challenging to me. I'm super thankful for the opportunities that I get. But one of the things that as I dove into Matthew 5, which I'm going to read in just a moment, you can open up your Bibles to Matthew 5 if you have them. One of the things that just really struck me are these Beatitudes, right? These are the attitudes that believers, people that have made Christ their Lord and Savior, that trust Him, should have. And like I said, I mean, I'm a pastor, so I work with families all the time. And I see these things in moments, right? And I get to see God work, and I get to see these attitudes, and it's really amazing, but you'd be surprised. I would say the overarching theme that I see is even in church, even with people who know Christ, is just a little bit of worry, of nervousness about the future. It's just hesitancy, and almost like I'm afraid to lose control, especially moms, especially dads, especially parents that have multiple responsibilities. Not only are they trying to take care of their own lives, but multiple other lives. And so as we dive into Matthew 5, this is just a really amazing point, is because this is the longest sermon that Jesus ever spoke, right? This is the longest recorded sermon, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And he's on the side of this mountain, and he's addressing people. And he's addressing people just like you and I experience these days. He's addressing believers. There are followers of Christ that are for sure with him and following him. There are skeptics that don't believe, that just want to see what all the fuss is about, see who this Jesus is. And then there are Jews who kind of believe what he is saying, but they don't believe he's the Messiah. And so his audience is unique, and he starts preaching. And right from the beginning, he opens up into Matthew 5, and he addresses believers right from the beginning. And he says, hey, you who know me, you who know who I am, you who know who the Father is, these are things that you should see out of your life. These are things that you should be. So I'm going to read Matthew 5. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, or falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. And for in the same way you are persecuted, the prophets were persecuted before you. And so those are the attitudes that we are supposed to have. And those things, honestly, if I'm looking at my life and I'm looking at the people that I serve with life, there is those. And I'm excited to experience those. But the overarching theme I see right now, especially, is just worry, doubt, no hope for the future. And it shouldn't be that way, right? We are light. So I'm going to share with you just a few things, and I'm hoping that in these things you'll be able to relate, because we've got responsibilities like never before. The time that we have is getting shorter and shorter. And now you always hear those things, but this is very true. With technology, more and more responsibility in so many places every single day, with your job, with people, get to know them, keeping up on social media, how's everybody doing? All these things, right, that you carry. But on top of that, in this fast-paced life, you got things like bills that you have to worry about, keeping your kids safe, your job, education for you, education for your children, a house, car payments, your family, homework, friends, finding a job, health, time with God, prayer, and all these different things. And I could make this list super, super long. And you're trying to figure out inside of those things what you're supposed to do, and you're supposed to have these attitudes, right? And here's some of the attitudes that I feel like I see. And I wish that these were on the list, but they were not included. Blessed are those who are anxious, because their anxiety will lead to good things. Or blessed are those who are fearful for the future, because their fear will keep them safe. Or blessed are those who try to control everything. Because control everything is themselves, because that control will lead to contentment. But those aren't the Beatitudes. But those are the Beatitudes I see. And I wish I didn't see them as much as I did. I get to see amazing things, and I get to see God do awesome things, and I get to see submission, but all those things are fleeting and for a moment, and I'm thankful I get to see them. But the overarching theme is just fear and doubt. And you see it everywhere. Every media resource that you look at, it's just, you know? And so it's almost like if we just hold on. Hold on, we'll get through this, right? If we can just hold on tight, we'll get through this. Well, one of the things I wanted to share with you, a little story that I feel like from my childhood is really relevant to this is I have a big family, and one year we went to Kings Island. super excited, you know, large family, get to go to Kings Island. Doesn't happen very often. And so I was really thankful to go. And, you know, we get there and one of the first things I see is the Beastie. Now that sounds good because I'd heard about the Beast, right? And the Beastie is a little bit smaller. And I'm like, okay, we can handle that, right? Dad, you good with that? You go with me? Dad's like, yeah, man, let's go. We go. I about got sick, right? And I was done with rides for the rest of the day. You could see me on the Tilt-A-Whirl and the Scooby-Doo merry-go-round and everything after that. And I mean, I was pretty young. I was like 15 at the time. So I was a little bit younger than that. But it came to the end of the day, and my mom would always hang out with me and my brothers as we did some of the smaller rides, and Dad would do the bigger rides. Well, it's the end of the day, and I had been doing kiddie rides all day, and my mom sees this Ferris wheel. And my mom says, hey, Mark, why don't you want to go with me? We can ride the Ferris wheel. And I'm like, oh, I'm really done with rides, but now my mom's called me out. I'm the oldest. I pretty much just got to do this thing. And those roller coasters are huge. This thing doesn't look near as bad. I can get this done. Let's do it. And so they start loading us on the ride. And we start going up, you know, up to the top while they're loading. And we're stuck at the top while they're loading people below. And I'm looking down and I'm a little fearful, right? But then I look over at my mom, okay? And my mom has got this bar in front of us. And she is literally just squeezing this bar with her life. And I mean, I'm talking like squeezing this bar with desperate life. And not only that, we're in this seat and what she's doing is she's holding onto this bar and she's nudging me and she's got me pinned in a corner. I think just trying to keep me safe. And she's squeezing so hard that sweat from her palms is dripping on her legs. I have never seen anything like it since. I mean, just holding on for dear life. Right? And here was the crazy thing about that. I was scared to do it. I was scared too. I mean, I looked at her. If she's scared, I should be scared, right? So I'm scared. But while we're going through the ride, I'm turning my head to the left and the right, and I'm seeing all these other cars. And I'm seeing these kids that are just swinging their legs and arms up, woo, you know, having fun, waving at mom and dad. And here my mom is, don't move. Don't move. You know, and she's like, she wants to keep that car as still and as safe as she possibly can. But what's the difference? What's the difference? It's a Ferris wheel. What's the difference in the ride, right? What's the difference between our car and the car behind me with the kids that are swinging their legs? The difference is trust. Right? We didn't trust the creators of the ride. We didn't trust that this bar was going to hold. We didn't trust really anything that we were doing. One of the first points on your listening guide is what we place our trust in drastically affects how we live our lives. And so that is so true. What we place our trust in affects how we live our lives. People see how we live our lives. People know. And does anybody ever ask you where your trust lies? It's a convicting thing because we who know Christ really should trust. Next point on your listening guide is you're going through life. And you're going through all these stresses, and you're carrying all these burdens, and you're trying to do right, and you're trying to have the Beatitudes, and you're trying to be all things for all people. But things aren't going like you had planned. Does God see you? Right? Does God see you in those moments? What if, on top of all the responsibilities we talked about, what if you get something thrown at you out of right field, like some diagnosis, you know? Like, all of a sudden, on top of all these responsibilities, now I don't know what my health looks like for the future. What if you have a spouse or a mom or a dad who's been diagnosed with something. All of a sudden, you got to take care of them. You got to figure this life out. No responsibilities has changed. Nothing has changed. But then you get this bigger moment, all this other stuff put on your plate. Are you supposed to then still carry those attitudes? And when you're carrying all the stress and you're carrying the weight and the fear of the future, and that's all on you at every step of the way, how do you treat people in those moments, right? How do people see you treating others? How do people see me treating others? Because when all that's on me, I'm pretty short-fused. Because nobody knows exactly what I'm dealing with is what I think, right? And so I'm short with my kids. I'm short with people around me. And are you guys identifying with where I'm at? If so, shake your head yes. Just for me. Okay, good. All right. So, yeah, you guys feel this. You guys understand a little bit of the weight of these things. And how we treat people is so huge. What if somebody does something to our kids, right? What if a teacher doesn't treat them right? What if they're on the sports field and they do something and an umpire makes a bad call and we've got all this stress on us? How do we treat that umpire, right? Not great, right? What if a coworker at work does something and, you know, you've been working really hard and this somebody comes in and undercuts you, takes credit for something you did? How do you treat them in that moment? What's your attitude there, right? Whew, convicting, right? But guess what? Oh, gosh, there's hope. There is hope. Because we were not made to trust in ourselves. We were made to trust a God who's in complete control. So I'm going to read through Matthew chapter 6, and then I'm going to tell you a story. So this is in Matthew 6. This is so good. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not your life more than food, and your body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add one single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field, they grow, they do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, the non-believers, run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So God says, I see you, I know you, I know what you're going through. You're way more important to me than anything else. But you gotta trust me. You gotta trust me, right? And I'm gonna be honest with you. There was a moment I struggled with trust. There was a moment that the Lord took me and my wife through, and I was struggling with trust. I had just gone on staff at Life Point Church. I had just sold my landscaping company for 12 years. Actually, things were kind of going good. There was a little bit of stress that was lifted because I was running a business and ministry at the same time. And so there was just a lot going on. But all of a sudden, you know, get in my lane. Things are going pretty well. Me and Colleen are having some time together. And then I decided to coach my son in basketball. And I coach with a good friend who may be here. His name's Corey Long. And we coach both of our sons. And we're playing in this basketball league. And just this, Tyler, my son, my youngest son, had been sick for a little while. And so we had missed a couple of practices and so forth. And we were at the practice that we finally got to because Tyler was feeling a little bit better. And I see Tyler running through the court, running through some drills. And then all of a sudden I notice, like with his shorts on, that he is like stick thin, right? His skin is pale white. He had been sick for a while, but you know, I thought he was getting better, but then I saw him in this moment, didn't look very good. And then on top of all that, in the course of 1 hour practice, he asked me to go to the bathroom like 4 times. And so I knew something was up. And so what we ended up doing was I talked with Colleen and we were like, okay, we got to go to the doctor. We got to get this figured out. And so we go to the doctor the very next morning, and we're in the doctor, I'm not kidding you, for 5 minutes. Literally 5 minutes. We just sit down in the seat. They say, Tyler, we need you to go to the restroom. We're going to take a sample. They come back in 5 minutes, and they say, hey, pack your bags. Go home real quick. Pack your bags. You're headed downtown to Children's Hospital. Your son's been diagnosed with diabetes. I'm like, okay, what is that? Right? At the moment, I didn't even really know what it was. And they're saying, well, you'll figure it all out when you get down there. They'll teach you, but Tyler's not in great shape and you need to hurry. So go home, get your stuff and go. So we go, right? We go to Children's Hospital. And I don't know what happened in that 1 hour of time, but Tyler got worse. In that 1 hour of time, he got worse and worse. And we get to the hospital, and they say they know what's wrong with him, but all of a sudden, he's laying on this bed. He's pale white. He's lethargic. He's saying he doesn't feel good, and I've got nothing to help him, right? So when your son looks healthy, right? I think I have a picture of him when he was, what my sister took when he was at the park. When your son looks like that, and he's all full of joy, and he's healthy. When you get to the emergency room and your son looks like this, you know something's up. Lost weight, he's thin. And I'm like, okay, we're at the hospital now. You say you know what's wrong with him. He's getting better. Fix it, okay? I mean, that's why we're here. Sure enough, they give him a shot. And I'm telling you, in 5 minutes, they give him a shot of insulin, and that kid is sitting up, smiling, wanting to eat, and wanting to play video games. I know at that moment, like, things are good. If Tyler wants to play video games, we're in good shape, right? And so we're going through all this, but we're in the emergency room and going through this. And on day two, where they're training us and we're going through everything, our oldest daughter, Caitlin, has a basketball game, and me and Colleen talk. And we say, okay, Colleen's like, hey, I need to be a mother to my other kids. And so if you can just stay here with Tyler and hang out, I'm going to go watch Caitlin play this basketball game. And I didn't know it, but God just showed up and showed his love for my wife. And she said that she cried the whole way to Caitlin's basketball game. She sat in the parking lot. She tried to pull herself together, and she said she prayed. And she said, God, I know you're good. I don't know what this is all about, but I can't go on without you. I need you. And then the Lord gave her his word. Put it right there. And he gave her these verses, Philippians 4:6-8. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And the Lord also gave her another word. It's in John 16:33. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I've overcome the world. And she said that all of a sudden, it was just like this peace flooded over her. And she knew that the Lord had it. And she went and she enjoyed Caitlin's basketball game. Well, The Lord did that sweet thing and just kind of gave her a hug and let her know. But me, I'm still anxious. I'm still learning. I'm the one that's kind of wearing, like, I got to give him shots, make sure I do this right, get it in the right spots now and all that. We got to check his blood sugar, make sure he eats the right things. And we get home on a Saturday. Well, Sunday is church day and I'm on staff, right? So I got to figure out a way to be there. So I'm like, hey, this is life now. We just got to go. And we go through church and I'm nervous. I'm going through all the same things, but I'm checking in the room to see how Tyler's doing. Every chance I get, checking his blood sugar, making sure he's okay. He was fine. But I get home and it was actually nice out. And I was like, I just got to take a jog. I have my best time with the Lord for some reason when I'm jogging. And I go and I start jogging right down Spring Road, right out here. And I'm jogging and I'm looking at creation. And I'm like, Lord, I know you're good. Lord, I know you love me. Lord, I know you love my son more than me. And I don't even want to ask it, but I have to. Why? Why? Why me? Why now? Why here? Why this? And the Lord so sweetly answered me with his word. He gave me Matthew chapter 6, verses 21. Verses 19 through 21. And he said, you store up treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Don't do that. I want you to store up treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Because wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I thought, well, that's weird. And then I realized, it was like God just reached down and gave me a hug, and I realized this was treasure. This was treasure he had stored up for me, because there's going to be a day where my son doesn't have diabetes, and I was not created for this place. I was created for that place. I was created to be with God. You were created to be with God. And this is a treasure he has stored up for me. I can't wait. I cannot wait for that day to be with my Savior. And when he says, your son, diabetes is no more. He's so good. And I just knew it. And I literally cried on my knees on the pavement on Spring Road. And I just said, thank you, God. You're so good. I knew he was in control. Not only that, he's used this whole thing so much in our lives and in my son's life and in my wife's life and in my kids' lives and in our whole family's lives that I would never ask for it. But the way I know the Lord now, I would never trade it back. Never. I know him. I love him. You have to trust him. Even when it feels like you can't, you have to trust him. And this is how I'm going to finish up. The night before Jesus was betrayed, he's in the garden. He knows what's about to happen. He's always been in communication with the Father ever since forever, in all eternity, before this moment. The Lord God, the Father, the Spirit, and the Son have always been in communication with each other. And whenever Jesus called, I believe Dad was right there. Right there. But then this moment comes and Jesus prays. And so in Matthew 26, verses 38 through 39, he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. He told that to the disciples. And then going a little further, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible. He said, my father, if it be possible, dad, you know what's about to happen. Have you ever looked at your son? You ever looked at your daughter and they got to face something they don't want to face? Wouldn't you give anything to take it? I know the father wanted to take it, and he said, my father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And the son looks to the father, and for the first time, I believe in this moment, he gets no answer. He knows where he's got to go. But then the father looks down at the son, sees what his son's going through, knew that this moment was going to happen, knew from all creation past, all creation present, and all creation future that this was going to happen. And he sees his son crying out for him, and he sees his son about to go through this horrible thing, and he turns his back. He turns away from his son. Because he knows if he doesn't go, redemption doesn't happen. If he doesn't go to the cross, you and I are stuck in our sin. If he doesn't go, we're stuck here, and then after here, it just gets worse. That kind of sacrifice. That kind of gift a father gave his son. A son gave his life. If you don't get that, you never will. Do you understand what he gave for you? He gave it all. And moms and dads, he's worth trusting. He loves you. He'll reach inside of where you're at, and he'll carry those burdens with you. And if you've never trusted him, I pray to God that you would just trust him right now. Would you guys join me in a word of prayer? God, it's Mother's Day. Lord, my prayer in this moment was that people would just know you, would just know that you're good, would hear the stories that I've told, they would relate, Lord, but they would meet you in a special way today. I know that there's moms in here that have been carrying burdens, burdens that they can't control, burdens that they've tried to control, weight that they've tried to carry, and they just can't seem to get a grip, and they're scared that at any moment they're just going to fall or they're just going to fail. Lord, be with them right now. Let them give it up to you, Lord. I pray that they would just give it to you and they just say, I'm done holding it. Lord Jesus, take it from me. I know you're worthy. I know you're trusting. I know you're good. I need you. I need you so desperately. And if you've heard this message today and you've realized that you don't know God like that, you don't really trust him, but you know you need him like never before. You know that you need a God who's with you, that never leaves you, that was forsaken, that took on the cross for you. He took all the punishment for you. He was forsaken so that you would never be. He took it all. God, I pray that they would give their lives to you, that they would just reach in with all that they are at the core of their being and say, God, I give myself to you. Be mine. Be mine. I need you. I need you, Lord. I love you. I love you. Be my God. I need you. That's what we need on this Mother's Day. Lord, more than anything else, we need you. Thank you, Lord, for letting us worship you this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.